Okay, welcome to Technocratic Tyranny Blues. This is going to be a clip show. I was going to play a piece from Dr. Drew last night, which I may still play. Let me just line that up. I was listening to about half an hour of it, but it's an interview with Ed Dowd, who's an analyst, a Wall Street analyst, who's taking a look at the death figures around vaccine rollout and the pandemic. So let's see if I can find that again. Sorry, I should have organized this better, but TalkShoe wouldn't work for me this, for the moment, so I'm back onto Podbean, and I'll do the TalkShoe version a bit later on today. Let's have a look. This is from last night. I've got it lined
up. Off we go. She is somebody I admire. I'm interested in. I'm not sure if I agree on everything with her, but as always, bring things to the light. Have conversation. That is really my goal in all of these shows we're doing.
So this is Dr. Drew, who's on YouTube. He's a medical doctor with a lot of psychological experience. A lot of experience, basically. He's been around a long time, and he's trying to get to the bottom of what's going on. He's quite moderate in the way that he looks at things. He's quite traditional in the way that he looks at things, but he's still asking good questions. And this is YouTube, so it's a much more mainstream audience than Odyssey or BitChute or Rumble. Which is why it's interesting, because they're still asking good questions. And that's the most important thing, is to know the question you want to answer. And sudden adult deaths, the increase in sudden adult deaths is an important topic. And although they've got a disclaimer that they use, if they start to get controversial, it is a medical discussion, and it's between people who know what they're talking about, so they do use the disclaimer, but they don't use it that often, and they're very careful about YouTube's rules on linking vaccines with sudden adult deaths. So they don't do it directly, but they do it indirectly. You've got to read between the lines a little bit. So I'm going to play about 10-15 minutes of this, just to let Ed Dowd get his stats across.
So today again, it's Ed Dowd for Command Performance. He's a Wall Street analyst. He wrote a book, Cause Unknown, The Epidemic of Sudden Deaths in 2021 and 2022. And he has been examining the data. He has a new project he is launching and announcing here today. And he has an update on that data. Ed, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me again on, Dr. Drew. Pleasure to be here.
You bet. Do you want to give your announcement first, or would you like to review some of the data that's updated?
Let me just, before I announce the project, we call it the Humanity Project, I'll just kind of update you guys on, since my appearance in September, some new data. The bottom line is disability continues to rise in this country. We went to a new high in September. The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, in the month of September, we had 990,000 disabled people. And then it's come back a little bit in October, but the trend is clearly up and to the right. This was a stock chart. I would own it and be pitching it as a stock to own. So, you know, 990,000 is the size of San Francisco. This is becoming alarming, to say the least. Before COVID, it was running absolute numbers around 29 to 30 million annually. Now it's at 33.2 million disabled Americans. And again, this is a real-time survey. It's just people saying that they are disabled or someone in their household is disabled. It's not tied to a doctor's note or a claim in the Social Security disability system. So it's real-time survey. And that keeps going up, and that has me concerned.
And do we know, secondly, do we have any penetration into that data? What kind of symptoms, what sorts of disability?
No, they don't break it down by that, but they do break it down by age and work, whether you're working or not working, or whether you're a man or a woman. And the last time I was on, unfortunately, the numbers still show that that the employed population, which is about 98 to 100 million, is experiencing, you know, 25% disability increase rate versus the general population, which is 7%. So something's going on with our workforce. You know my thesis on that. It's the vaccines, but you know, it needs to be examined, at least discussed, and it's being ignored, not even talked about. It's not a news story. It's not even something that's on anybody's radar screen. It's a huge problem. And, you know, I'll talk later in the show, but this is going to have implications for economic growth going forward. It leads to inflation. The more people are disabled, if this continues to grow, it leads to people missing work hours, taking care of the disabled in their home. And it's going to have impact on goods and services because there'll just be a constant shortage of labor around the country.
And again, I'm just so curious what these numbers represent, what's in there, because there's a lot of candidates in addition to the vaccine. Can we talk a little bit about the excess death data again? Because I had something I wanted to go over with you there, which was, Vinay Prasad brought this up, and I thought it was a good point. What is our model for anticipated deaths? How do we know that we have the right number? To be able to document excess death, you have to build a model that tells you what the anticipated death rate should be. How do we know that we got that model right?
That actually leads right to the question of the Humanity Project. So that's a great question. So there's different ways of coming at it. And I have two partners, Carlos and Yuri, who are both PhD physicists. They're in my we started a hedge fund a couple months ago, but we're not raising capital right now. We're working on this project because it's so important to get this out to the world. So we've been focused on this and delaying the raising of capital. And basically, they put out on the website two methodology papers, one for the UK and one for the US, on how to calculate what's the correct baseline from which to calculate the excess death rates. And they use an adjusted population trend model, because if you have a population that is growing, it'll make estimations on the wrong side, or if it's decreasing. So they trend adjust it for population. Then they also project forward what the death trend would be, you know, a few years into the future. So you can see when you look at this website how excess death rates have deviated from what trend normalcy is. So it's definitely a great question. A lot of people just use a 5-year average, which is great if you have a static population, but if the population is growing or declining, it'll give you different answers. So we correct for that. And we intend for this project, the Humanity Project, which is free to everyone. It's all the data, excess death rates, it's got vaccination schedules depending upon the data in the country. Right now, with the UK and Europe up, US is coming soon. And basically, this data can be peer-reviewed, it can be downloaded by people, it can be talked about and debated. And one thing on the website we tried to stay away from was conclusions. It is what it is. It's the data. And the data shows some alarming trends. Excess death is up in most of these countries that I'm talking about, the UK, Europe, and US. There seems to be an excess death rate rise, especially amongst the younger age folks. In 2021 and 2022. It did not occur in 2020. So there's lots of public health questions that can be asked. Now, myself, Carlos, and Yuri believe it's the vaccine, but we're open to any kind of debate about it. If people want to talk about why this is occurring, that'd be great. But the bottom line is it's occurring, it's happening, it's true, but it's not being discussed in the media, as far as I can see, or by any global health agency at all. This is an epidemic, like I said, like the title of my book, it's an epidemic of sudden death. And now disability is also a huge problem. That's going to be 10 to 20x the actual deaths we're seeing. So this is a problem. We've identified it. The data is the data. And now we want people to start discussing this. Now we have our conclusions, and we encourage debate, but we want this to at least to be identified and talked about.
Yeah, I think it's sort of as always, when things seem scandalously silent, I shake my head. I blame myself. I think I must be missing something. Is there something here that I'm not thinking about that creates a environment for the press to be unwilling to just at least report on this, talk about this? And the only thing I could come up with was maybe our models of what death projections should be are somehow inaccurate. If someone was criticizing the models you used to estimate death, what would they criticize?
They might come up with a different methodology, but again, these two guys are scientists. One is currently an academic working with us. Another one was an academic, and now he's been in different hedge funds throughout his career. These guys welcome any kind of criticism and debate, but this is rigorous scientific analysis. And they said to me, when we go into this project, Ed, if the data comes up that you're wrong, we're going to tell everybody that you're wrong. And I said, I agree. Mm-hmm. Well, the data is not coming up mm-hmm. that way. So the data is the data. In fact, Yuri had a conversation. You know, he's currently an academic at a university in Portugal. And his colleagues call him crazy. But now they're starting to ask questions. And he says, look, the data is the data. If you don't like the data, that's fine. But I'm a scientist. And if you want to challenge how I did it, fine. But this is the data. You know what I think. You don't have to agree with me, but this is the data. So we want to establish this is the data. This is real. Now, if you want to debate what's causing it, fine.
Well, to a couple things. The U.S. data is not up yet, right? I'm noodling around.
No, it's not up. It'll be up in a week. U.S. has been covered a lot by myself and other people. We have the insurance SOA numbers that I talked about with you the last time. The data is there as well, but we're going to look at it according to these methodologies as well, which I'm told produce similar results to the work that the Society of Actuaries has already done and my partner Josh and I did. So it's all coming together, and that'll be up in a week.
But now, we thought it was important
to launch this right now.
Yo, I love it. You mentioned an epidemic of sudden death. I'm not seeing the sudden death data in here. Is that your previous data we're talking about?
No, that's in the book. We focus initially on fit athletes dying. We cite a study that over 38 years came up with a number of about 29 athletic deaths per year over like 38 years. Of people dying on the field globally. Well, that number, we're lucky if that number is 29 in any given day since 2021. So that's an anecdotal kind of thing. Then in my book, I go into the metadata you're seeing here. Sudden death is just about one thing that occurs. It doesn't necessarily have to be sudden death. It can be other. And again, for future projects, we're going to be working on what's called the V damage report. And we're going to be studying all the data associated with adverse events and death and the causes. So that's a project on the come. That's going to require more data, more help. And we're also making a call and a plea to other academics and scientists to join our efforts. This isn't just Carlos, myself, and Yuri. We welcome collaboration. We welcome teamwork. We welcome scrutiny. And this website was launched under the principles of the Malone Doctrine, which I helped write for Dr. Malone, which is in data integrity of transparency of what we're doing. This is transparent for everyone. We're not hiding. We're not trying to obfuscate anything here. This is the data.
Couple of questions for you before we bring Dr. Victory in here. Based on the actuarial data and the insurance data you presented last time, why aren't the rates going up, or are they?
They are. So let me just update you guys real quick on what I found out since the last time I was on. So I have an insider in the insurance industry, and the Society of Actuaries doesn't report excess death monthly. They kind of update it annually in a big report once a year. So we've got the 2021 numbers in August of this year. But I have access to the real-time data, and it was told to me the month of August in the Society of Actuaries for the group life policyholders, the excess deaths was 36% for 18 to 44. Let me repeat that, 36%. Now, if this was a pandemic that we are told is winding down, natural immunity and vaccines, suppose they worked, that excess mortality should be turning back to zero or even better than zero. It's stubbornly high, and it's a problem. And again, Dr. Drew, this is a population that is much healthier than the general overall population, as their studies have proven beforehand in 2016 that they experience the mortality rate of 30 to 40% that in any given year of the general U.S. population. So they're experiencing crazy amounts of excess death. And it's just, it's starting to weigh on their numbers. Let me also say this, Q3 numbers are coming out in the insurance companies, and Lincoln National reported a disastrous quarter. The stock was down some 30%, I believe. Prudential has also reported. And what's going on there is they're revising their assumptions about mortality. And this has huge impacts on their reserves. And one of the products that they are having a problem with is called Universal Life, which you have the option to lapse it. Well, lapse rates are plummeting, and they're plummeting, I suspect, because people are worried about their health and may or may not be diagnosed with something that came up recently, and so they're not lapsing their policies, and these insurance companies are taking big losses. So it's not indirectly, they're not losing money directly yet. They are losing some money, but not as much as they just lost recently, directly due to the vaccine, which is my belief. They're losing it because excess mortality assumptions are wrong. And when they're wrong, insurance companies lose tons of money. So something's going on with excess mortality that we shouldn't be seeing at this stage of a pandemic.
I agree. And that you simply can't be disputed that something is going on other than the anticipated death, if that's accurate. It can't be disputed. I'm beginning to believe, however, there may be a bunch of things crammed into those excess death data. Do you have a...
All right, I'm going to leave that one there. That's 15 minutes of Ed Dowd. I'll post another 15 minutes later on today, probably. I'll just break it down into manageable chunks, bite-sized chunks. It's easier for me to watch it that way, so I'm guessing a lot of people watch videos that way. I tend to jump around. 15, 20-minute chunks is about what I do. So that's pretty much it for now. I'll see you a bit later.